KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's cloudy, breezy, and 54 degrees. We look forward to be mostly cloudy here today in Atlantic with some light rain and a high around 62 degrees with winds out of the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Radar shows most of the very light precipitation is off to our east and southeast here in southwest Iowa. In the news this hour, the names of two people from Minnesota who died in a fiery helicopter crash Tuesday afternoon in Audubon County have not yet been released, pending notification of family, but the FAA has issued some other preliminary crash data. Authorities said that Wednesday the copter was a light four-seat Robinson R-44 model helicopter. Witnesses said the chopper collided with power lines in rural eastern Audubon County at around 4:27 p.m. Tuesday before flipping over and crashing into a field. The copter then burst into flames upon impact. A pilot and a passenger were killed in the crash. Police in Red Oak arrested a man on an assault charge earlier this morning. 46-year-old James Reed Mitroff II of Red Oak was taken into custody at around 2:55 a.m. in the 900 block of East Washington Street in Red Oak for domestic abuse assault first offense. Mitroff II was being held without bond in the Montgomery County Jail. A teen accused of killing another teen in western Iowa is seeking prosecution as a juvenile. Monona County court records say the attorney for 17-year-old J. Lee Newbaum filed a motion on Wednesday to transfer the case to juvenile court. The teen is charged with first-degree murder in the January shooting death of 16-year-old Joseph Hopkins in Mapleton. A hearing on the request is scheduled for June 1st. Newbaum was being held at the Juvenile Detention Center in Woodbury County on a $1 million bond. The Atlantic City Council held its first ever electronic meeting Wednesday evening, with some members joining the session by remote video conferencing service Zoom. Others were in attendance at the council's chambers. The meeting lasted for about 15 to 20 minutes. During their brief session, the council held a public hearing on the adoption of the final fiscal year 2021 budget for the City of Atlantic. The council had passed the preliminary budget on March the 4th. And they passed a resolution last night adopting the fiscal year 21 budget, which calls for lower property taxes from $16.86 per thousand to $16.56, but at the same time increased costs for labor and health insurance. So the total tax rate per $1,000 valuation on regular property is $16.56 per thousand, and on agricultural land, $3 per thousand. They also held a public hearing last night on the adoption of a 10-year capital improvement plan, or CIP, and passed a resolution adopting the proposed CIP. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening passed a resolution setting salaries for appointed officers and employees of the City of Atlantic. Basically, that means wage adjustments for the police chief, library director, parks and rec director, street superintendent, and city administrator, plus 2.4% increase for all employees, keeping in line with other cities of similar size to Atlantic, as well as union agreements. And they passed a resolution setting the seasonal wages for Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department for 2020. By a vote of 6-1, the Atlantic City Council passed a resolution for the temporary suspension of certain personnel policy requirements in order to address the COVID-19 emergency. Councilperson Kathy Summers was the lone no vote. City Administrator John Lund has said passage means that elected officials make policies, and those policies are not subject to the dismissal by unelected officials or government employees simply because they're providing an obstacle to the needs and desires of anyone. If policies are an issue, he said, they should be changed and not ignored. In short, the City Council has final say over such issues as his work hours of work rules, and forfeited vacation paid time off. It also states the city is willing to sustain paychecks for those employees who are forced to take reduction in hours because their supervisor is concerned about the risk of spreading infection from a department. The final say is at the discretion of the Finance and Administration Department and department heads to identify need and eliminate any opportunities for abuse. In other business, the resolution was passed setting April 15th as the date for a public hearing on the designation of the expanded North Urban Renewal Area and on an urban renewal plan amendment as it pertains to the city's original 2017 development agreement with the Whitney Group for the Whitney Inn. And the public hearing was held on a proposal to enter into a general obligation refunding loan agreement and to borrow money thereunder. With regard to recent changes in the bond market, no action was taken following the hearing. Mayor Dave Jones then reminded the public to wash your hands as a means to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 and be safe out there. Well, the Audubon School District Superintendent Eric Traeger reports a public hearing will be held 7 p.m. on Monday, April 20th, on the proposed plans and specifications, form of contract, and estimate of cost for the Audubon School District middle school, high school facility improvements. The hearing will take place as part of the regularly scheduled Audubon School Board meeting on April 20th. The projects include a rooftop HVAC or heating, ventilation, and air conditioning unit replacement, referred to as the project. The proposed construction project at the Audubon Middle School High School will consist of replacing four rooftop units with four new upgraded units and adding one energy recovery ventilation unit. A copy of the proposed contract documents will be on file for public inspection in the district office at the same location. During the public hearing on April 20th, any interested person may file written objections or present oral comments with respect to the subject matter of the hearing. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the school board will make a decision on putting the project out for bids for a summer 2020 implementation. And Governor Kim Reynolds will soon make clear how the school year may end for Iowa's K-12 students. Reynolds was asked about the issue during a news conference Wednesday afternoon. She said that sometime today, Thursday, we'll be issuing an additional health emergency declaration that will address the very question people have been asking. In mid-March, Reynolds recommended the schools suspend classes until Monday, April 13th. President Trump has extended federal social distancing guidelines until April 30th and urging Americans not to gather in groups. Reynolds says her day yesterday started with a meeting to examine how students may be able to take classes online for the remainder of the school year.
To really identify what this looks like and how we can continue to provide learning for students all across the state.
And last week, the Iowa Department of Education changed the rules so that schools may now issue grades and credits for classes completed online. Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Marilyn Ursham, age 92, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. An open visitation for Marilyn Ursham will be today from 2 until 5 p.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield, with the family not present at any specific time. Thomas Mick Michael Berenger, age 78, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at his home. An open visitation for Mick Berenger will be held Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Again, because of the CDC rules, no more than 10 people are allowed in that funeral home at any given time. Glenn Livingston, age 70, of Atlantic, died March 27th at his home. Graveside services for Glenn Livingston will be held Friday at 1:30 at the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Gerald Hauser, age 91, of Griswold, died Monday at Griswold Care Center. An open visitation for Gerald Hauser will be at the Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Jack Rupert, age 79, of Carson City, Nevada, a native of Griswold, died November 1st. Graveside services for Jack Rupert were to be held this Saturday, but they've been postponed due to the pandemic. Recon Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. Mildred Millie Nelson, age 91, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. Private memorial services for Millie Nelson will be held at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Ramona Larson, age 89, of Atlantic, died Wednesday in Mesa, Arizona. Services for Ramona Larson are pending for a future date. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. David Olson, age 79, of Panora, died Monday at his home. Cremation has taken place, and a celebration of life for David Olson Sr. will be held at a later date. Twig Funeral Home in Panora is assisting the family. Gary Clipperton, age 73, of Baird, died March 17th at Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. Private family graveside services for Gary Clipperton will be held. Odie Funeral Home in Baird has the arrangements. Mary Ellen Harrison, age 83, of Redfield, died Saturday at the Adel Acres Nursing Home. A celebration of life for Mary Ellen Harrison will be held at a later date. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Dorothy Grotolution, age 92, of Fort Dodge and formerly of Audubon, died March 23rd in Fort Dodge. Cremation has taken place, and a celebration of life memorial service for Dorothy Grotolution will be held at a later date, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. That's a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.